Welcome and thank you for standing by. All participants will have an open line for the duration of today's conference call. Please utilize your mute button when not speaking to minimize background noise. If you would like to mute your line and do not have a mute button, you may press star then six. Star then six again would unmute your line. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And I'd like to go ahead and turn the call over to your host for today, Ms. Stephanie Bagot. Ma'am, you may begin.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's Jazz Open Mic session. The topic is work item and process customization. First off, my name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Andre Wienan. Andre Wienan is a senior software developer with the IBM Rational Lab in Zurich, Switzerland, since 1997. Currently, he is the RTC work item component lead. Before joining the Jazz product, he played an active role in the Eclipse project since its inception, working on JFace, Compare, the Java development tooling, and he helped bring Eclipse to the Mac platform. We will be having a web conference today, and you can join by signing on to www.webdialogue.com/join, and the conference ID is 3133836. Again, that is webdialogue.com/join, conference ID 3133836. If you are unable to join in on the web conference, please listen in on the phone. Andre will be sharing his knowledge throughout the hour, but please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Andre Wienan. Go ahead, Andre.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome everybody to this conference call. I prepared for today's session some slides where I can show what is work item customization is all about, what are the new features in 2.0 and in the current maintenance releases that we are already shipped and that we are preparing to ship until the end of this year. And I have prepared a running RTC where I can show things. So I have not a fixed program, so I would like to ask the audience who is actually using work item customization in RTC already? Are there any people using customization of work items? Should I just give a short overview? Or do you have specific questions that I should answer and maybe show in a live running system? So if there are no current questions, then I probably will just start and talking a little bit about work item customization. I have some slides here. Let me start. Okay, so I hope that everybody can see the slides now. The first question is, why do we have customization? Why do we need this? And RTC's idea is really to provide an excellent out-of-the-box experience. So it should be really easy to set up RTC in many cases, and it should not necessary to use customization to tweak things. But again, RTC is highly customizable, and the reason for this is that different organizations and teams have varying requirements for project governance, for example, or a team wants to adopt their process that they are using in a way that works best for them. So it's really something that is important, for example, for agile teams, that you continuously adapt what you are doing in your tool and improve. And this is, these are one of the reasons why we provide rich customization in RTC work items. So the scope of customization in RTC currently is we have customizations in different components, and the most fundamental component here is process, which belongs to the Jazz Foundation. Then on top of that, in RTC, we have components, work items, planning, dashboards, SCM, and build, and all these components have their own customization. Today, I will mostly focus on customization that can be done in Process, which is the most basic layer that provides customization, and Work Items, which is the area that my team owns. So I'm in a position to answer these any questions in that area best. So how is customization typically done in RTC? The entry point is always the project area editor, or we will see later the team area editors. And to make this a little bit more fun, I will just switch to RTC and show this live. So what I've prepared here is an RTC with a very simple example project. It's the JUnit example project. And we see here in the Team Artifact Navigator on the left-hand side the JUnit project. There is another project, which is a Rational Team Concept. That's actually the RTC project. But I will focus on the JUnit project because that's something that runs locally on my machine here. I open this, and now you see the project area editor. And this editor has multiple tabs here. So there are tabs where you can set up configuration information that applies for the full project or for the project as a whole. You can add team members, for example. You can define timelines that are applicable to the full project. The customization is done on a specific tab here, which is the process configuration tab. And today we will concentrate on that tab. This tab in the editor shows, again, on the left-hand side, a navigator, and it's the outline of the configurations that can be done on a project. So there are three sections here. One is roles that you can define. These roles are applicable for the project as a whole, so you can introduce your specific roles that you want to have, for example, a Buildmeister role, or a Scrum Master role. And normally you don't have to do anything here because you will probably use a predefined process template that already includes some role definitions. Then there are two other sections. One is project configurations, one is team configurations. Project configurations are all the things that apply to the project as a whole. And team configuration opens a deep hierarchy where you can tweak specific configurations based on your timelines and your teams and your operations. So we will come to this later. Let's start first with the project configuration. The project configuration has one area that is very important for work items because here we can define all the artifacts that are relevant for work items. So if you want to introduce, for example, new work item types or other artifacts, then you will go into the configuration data sections, and there you will find two sections, work items and work item advanced. So this is the place where most of the customization that I will show you today takes place. So let's go back to the slides. So this is just what I've shown in the demo. Let's now go to one very important concept in process customization, that is operations. One important thing that you can do is you can specify permissions for specific operations. So users of a project area, developers or specific roles of a project area, have to execute some kind of operation sometimes. For example, they want to check in some code, they want to save a work item, or they want to, for example, modify a dashboard. All these things are operations. So saving something or modifying something or creating something is an operation in this area of process customization. And what you can do now is you can specify for these operations basically two things. One is you can set up permissions and you can specify specific behavior. Behavior means you can instantiate, for example, preconditions that are run automatically when an operation is executed. For example, there are preconditions that will check that all your required properties are correctly specified, or there are other operation behavior that you can tweak. For example, you can instantiate a follow-up action that is automatically run after a operation has been run by you. I will show you now in the demo how this looks like in RTC. Let's go back to RTC now. Now I will go to the team configuration section of this tree. And here we'll see the permission section and the operation behavior section. Team configuration in this case means everything that you are doing here is done on a team level. So it does not necessarily apply to the project as a whole, but it applies to a team. And the root of a hierarchy of teams that you can have in RTC starts in this editor here. It is possible to have sub-teams, for example, with their own rules, but basically their editors and their way to configure things works like this project area editor that is shown here. So let's just drill down into permissions. What we have here, for example, in the permissions section is we show on a role basis all the operations that are available. And there are operations, for example, for builds. You can abandon a build, you can delete build definitions. So these are all the operations the build component in RTC provides. Since we are focusing today on work items mostly, I will just look into the work item section. And what we can see here are basically three operations that are important. We have an operation, and that's the most important one, save work items. And we have two other operations for saving and deleting queries. Queries are used to search for work items. I will focus mostly on save work items. And inside the save work item operation, there are various, I would call it sub-operations, but actually they are called actions, where you can specify in a very fine-grained level of detail what is possible for the given role here, for example. In order to make this a little bit more clear, I can switch this editor here to a different layout that shows all the actions here on the in the left-hand column, and then all the roles are separate columns. And we now scroll down to work items, and we will find the save work item operation here. We can drill down in this a little bit more, and we can, for example, look for creating a work item. And here we can see, for example, permissions for controlling who can create work items of a specific type. And as we can see here, we see that most roles have permissions to create work items for any type. But if you want to change this, for example, that only specific roles can create specific work items, then you can easily change this matrix here and take away the permissions for this operation. And there are other sections which list all the attributes that you have on a work item. For example, here you find things like modify the work item's severity or modifying the work item's priority. And if you want to control who in your team, for example, has the right or the permissions to modify the priority of a work item, just select the appropriate role here and decide whether this role has permissions to do this or not. So this is just how we specify permissions. And then there is another thing that is done on the same layer, that is controlling the operation behavior. So again, we see here all the operations. And for example, I can scroll down to work items again and find the save work item operation. I see columns for the various roles here. And in this case, we only have defined operation behavior on the everyone role. So I click on this role. This small icon here shows that something has been defined here. And now, I can now maybe enlarge the editor a bit. Now we can see, okay, for the save work item operation, we have a few preconditions defined. For example, there is a precondition, require properties. So this is a precondition that automatically checks that whenever a work item is saved, a set of attributes that is required is specified by the user. And I can now go and see, for example, here that for almost all types of work items, the filed against and the summary attributes are required attributes. If I want to add additional attributes, I can just open this this dialog and specify more attributes that are defined for the work item type and mark them as required. So if you decide in your team that you want to make more attributes required, just configure the required property precondition. There are other preconditions that we introduced in RTC 2.0. For example, there is one that helps implementing e-signatures. I will come to this later at the end of this demonstration. Let's go back to the slides. So I talked and showed a little bit operations and how these operations can be configured, both permissions and behavior. What I showed there applies to all operations. It's not confined to the work item component only. This is functionality that is defined by the process layer, and this layer applies to all the other components. So what you have seen here works for all components, not only for work items. The more interesting thing is maybe not to tweak just how operations behave and how permissions are set up, but to introduce, for example, new work item types. And what is a work item type? A work item type is something that you automatically get when creating a new project and you are using one of the process templates that we ship with RTC, for example, the Scrum template, then you get a whole set of work item types for different tasks. For example, there are simple defects, there are tasks, there are adoption items, and if you like, you can introduce more of these types. I will briefly show this again here. I close the section. Types are things that you cannot specify on a team basis. So it is not possible that you can introduce a new work item type only for your team. You can only introduce these kinds of things for the project as a whole. So you have to go into the project configuration and not the team configuration section. And there in configuration data, you find, for example, the types. Here in the work item section under types and attributes. Again, I will enlarge the editor a bit. What you can see here is the work item types, and these types are for historical reasons grouped in several groups, and you list the groups here at the top of this editor. So there are all the groups that are defined in this project area. For example, there is a defect group, a task group. Most of these groups only contain a single work item type, but you can have multiple types in the same group. The idea behind this group concept is you can share some common behavior within the group, so all things within a group share the same behavior. For example, I'm not sure that in this template actually there are more than two. No. So this is not really something that is very important, but I'm just mentioning this. So let's look at the defects work item type, for example. You find the type here, and you see the custom attributes that you can introduce in this table over here. What I've done here is I introduced a new custom attribute that introduces an electronic signature as an example. The types that you see here have all a common set of built-in attributes. These built-in attributes are not changeable, so they belong to all types. So all the types that you see here share the same set of common attributes. So things like summary and description are all the things shared by all, and they are not listed here because they are common. The only thing that you can do here is you can introduce new attributes, and we call them custom attributes. For example, I can add a new attribute, for example, risk, and I can pick a type for this this attribute, for example, integer, and it will just be added to this work item type. The other important thing is that a work item type has a state transition matrix associated with it. So all these work items, when you use them, have a current state, and typically you can change this current state by running an action on the work item, and then it will transition to a new state. Let's just show randomly picked work item here. You see the state, the current state is here, for example, resolved, and then you will find actions that you can execute on the state, and it will transition the work item to a new state, for example, now it's verified. And this workflow is customizable as well, so you can create or modify workflows. We consider this somewhat more advanced concept, so you find it in the advanced section. Here you will see all the workflows that we have, and you can again pick the workflow that you want to edit, or you can just add a new one. And the workflows that you find here in many cases reflect the work item types that they belong to, so they have the same name. And the workflow is just a simple matrix with a state on the left-hand side and a target state on the bottom, on the top row here. And then the matrix just contains the actions that are associated with this workflow to get from the from state to the target state. And if a transition is not possible, then there is a none. And with every state, you can associate an icon with it, a name. You have the actions that you pick here in the drop-down menu that you find in this matrix. You can create new actions, and these actions are listed here so that you can see what is the action's name and what is the target state, and you can again associate icons with these actions and states. So in many cases, people do not create workflows from scratch, but they just pick an existing workflow and modify it a bit, add maybe a new state to it, add a few actions that transition to this new state. So it's much simpler modifying existing stuff than creating new stuff from scratch. The last thing that you have to do after introducing a type and then a new workflow or modifying an existing workflow is, because these things are separate entities, separate artifacts, the type here and the workflow there, you have to bind them together. So you have to specify that this workflow is used for this type. So what you do here is you go to the workflow binding section. There you can just pick a type category. In this case, for example, I picked the defect, and then you will see here what workflow is used for that type. And you can just pick one of your existing workflows here. This is kind of a problem that we have this separation between types on one hand side and workflows on the other side. People sometimes forget to establish a binding, and then they are wondering why a newly introduced type does not have a workflow, because they are missing the binding here. Okay, that is some details about types, custom attributes,
Hi,
and workflows. Yes?
Question, could you show how to, maybe as you suggested, how to add an entirely new state and maybe also how to delete an existing state, just to sort of show that?
Okay. First, adding, let's go to the workflows. Adding something is always okay and not a problem. Deleting something is a problem. So if you have a running system and you have already work items that use a workflow and you decide to remove a state from the workflow, then you have to be sure that the existing work items do not use that state. So what you should do before starting to remove things is always check whether the things to be removed are really still used by any of the work items. In the 3.0 release of RTC, which is under development right now, we try to help you here. So when trying to delete a state, for example, you have an opportunity to find out whether this state is used anywhere in the system. In the 2.0 version, we do not have that, so you have to be careful. So I do not recommend deleting states. I only recommend that you can add a state. In order to add a state, the simplest thing you can do is just press Add. Give the state a name, maybe a description. You should pick a group, a semantic group for this state, in order to make some reports and queries work right. You always have to decide whether your state that you want to introduce is a state that you would consider a closed state or an open state or an in-progress state. So we cannot automatically detect that, because you can pick just or create just any state. So decide what group your state falls in. For example, I just decide that this foobar state belongs to the open group. Then you can just pick any icon that we have already as part of the project setup, But if you want to add your own icons, just get or find an icon on your hard disk and add it through this dialog here. It will automatically become part of your process specification, and then press OK. Now you have this foobar state, as you can see here in the states list, and you see that the transition matrix now has one additional row and column for the foobar state. And now you have to decide what this really means, that you have a new state, because you have to define an action that goes to that state, that has a that is a transition to that state. So what you typically would do is you would decide, okay, if I'm in the, for example, new state, and I want to make it possible to go to the foobar state, I would need a foobar action. So currently there is none action defined for this, so I just say new action and call this maybe the foobar action. Okay, and now we have a transition from new to foobar through the foobar action. And again, this action will appear here in the action table as well. So now you can go in and, for example, find a nice icon for that foobar action and assign it. Okay. So that would be a very simple example how to add an action and a state to an existing workflow. Adding actions is never a problem because actions are not stored in the work items. So you do not have to think about that. You do not lose any data introducing actions. Even removing actions is not a problem because they are not stored anywhere. Removing states is a problem because they are stored in the work item, and if a work item has that state and you remove that state from the workflow, the work item will appear when you're looking at it, will show that there is something wrong because that state is no longer part of the workflow. You will still be able to find it, but it is kind of using something that no longer exists. Was this an answer to your question?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much, Andre.
You're welcome. Okay, let's go back to my slides. We have the workflow. The next thing is how you can specify how these new types or your modified work item types are presented in the UI. And for this, we use so-called editor and attribute presentations. So an editor presentation is really the specification, the layout, how the various attributes of a work item are presented, how they are grouped, on what tabs of an editor they are shown. This slide shows how we make it possible to customize and to specify an editor presentation. So we do not support in RTC 2.0 to have a free form layout editor where you can just group your UI controls in a free form layout and you can place just things arbitrarily. We didn't do that for two reasons. One is we did not have the resource cycles to implement that. The second reason is we want to start with a more abstract description of what attributes are actually presented and want to make it possible that this abstract description can be used in different contexts with different layouts. So we use, for example, the same editor presentation in the web UI as well as in the Eclipse Switch UI, and then there are other places where the same specification is used, but we build a different layout around it. So that's the reason why we only support currently that you can create kind of a tree of the attributes that you want to show and just use a very declarative way to specify layouts. So this tree here shows the four things that we provide. On the top level, you have editors, so you can define, okay, I want to use this type of editor for a defect, for example, or for a newly introduced work item type. Inside the editor, you have tabs. Inside a tab, you have sections. Sections are a grouping mechanism. You get the border around things. And inside sections, you have attribute presentations. So here, you can really see a single or a list of attributes according to their type and have a small little editor. So the picture on the right shows this in more detail. You have the editor, that's the full window. Inside the editor, there are tabs. You find the tabs on the bottom of the window. And then there is the section, in this case the details section, and then there are about 12 attributes in that detailed section, and one attribute consists of a label and some type-specific representation on the right-hand side. So that's basically what you are building when defining a new editor presentation for a new type. Let's go back to... to my example. I now switch to from workflows to editor presentations. And what you see here is now the editor presentation, and in the top level drop-down menu, you can again pick for what type you want to find your or edit your editor presentation. I'm now just looking at the default presentation. So there is a default presentation that is used if you do not specify any specific editor for a given type. So this default presentation is used for most of the types. And what you can see now in this view here is the structure that are shown on the slides before. So there is the first level of the hierarchy are the different tabs of the editor. So there is an overview tab, a link tab, an approval tab, a custom tab, and a history tab. And inside, and then there is an editor header, which we consider another tab. It's the thing that is shown on the top of every editor, and it stays the same even when switching between different tabs. So there is one area in the editor that remains the same across the different tabs, and that's the editor header. We treat this as a tab, so it's shown on the same level. Then inside, for example, a single tab, for example, the overview tab, there are sections, the details section, for example, and if we drill down into the details section, we find all the presentations for the different attributes. For example, there's one for type and filed against and severity. You have separators that you can put in between the attributes if you want to group them a bit. But you see here that there is not really layout that you specify. It's just more structure, and the layout comes more or less automatically. So if you want to introduce a new attribute, for example. I have done this. I mentioned the electronic signature attribute. I introduced this on the approvals layout, approvals tab in the approvals section. Previously there was just a section that shows approvals, and I just added another attribute presentation to show the signature, the electronic signature. I've done that already, and we can just look maybe at how this looks like. Yes, here it is. This is the approvals tab, as you can see here. The approvals tab has an approvals section, this border here. Inside there are two attributes. One is this signature attribute, and one is this list of approvals that was already there. And if you want to add, for example, another attribute, just let's do this. I just pick some arbitrary attribute here and save it. Okay, and what happens here is you do not automatically get the new layout here. You have to reopen the editor, and then you should see it. What did not work here for some reason I do not really know right now. So whenever you are modifying your layouts and save them, you can immediately try them out, but you have to close the editor first. It's not hot, updated in a hot way, so you have to reload actually the editor. Okay. So these were just the most important customizations, or the most important and the usual customizations that you would typically use. Creating new types, adding attributes to your types, changing your presentations to show newly introduced attributes, or just for tweaking some presentations to not show specific attributes that are not important for you. These are the more important things that you will do when using work item customization. When doing this, be careful. Whatever you do in a running system is dangerous, and there is a risk that you end up in a state where you are not able to edit your work items because, for example, you have removed some editors or some layouts or some sections, and you do not have access to certain attributes. So when working with this system with RTC, we ran into these issues ourselves. So I just listed here on this slide a few best practices that you should use when using work item customization. What we always do is we try to do not change things at an arbitrary time. What we try to do is we try to have really a process for improving our own configuration of our process. That means at the end of an iteration, for example, we reflect in our retrospective how things have worked, even with our tools, how the setup, how the definitions of a work item type, for example, was used, or whether there is a type missing. So, for example, in the beginning, we did not have a build tracking work item where we tracked build width. So after a couple of iterations in a retrospective, it occurred the problem that someone was asking for, we really need a work item type for this. And so we made a plan that we want to introduce a new work item type, and we do this not in a very hastily way. So it's really something that you have to plan for and do it in an orderly way. So typically we create a work item for this, so improve or introduce a new work item. And then there will be some reflection and discussion going on, so people will discuss whether it's a good idea, for example, to change the existing behavior or introduce a new work item type. And after some discussions, we'll make the decision at some point we will implement this customization. And typically we implement this customization not in the running system, but in a separate system that we are using for testing purposes only. And we play a little bit with the results. So we see, is this really working? Do we see any problems in our own implementation maybe that are visible because we are now using additional customizations. And if this is okay, then we apply the customization to the real system and introduce, for example, a new type. As I said already earlier, adding something is not a big problem, but changing or removing something is dangerous. So in many cases, we really try to only add things and not to remove things. If we really have to remove something and we know that there are already work item instances that are using these definitions, then we are really trying to find them by creating queries to search for them, and then we try to modify these existing instances, for example, to change their state. If we decide we want to remove a state, then we will try to change the state of these work items in a way that nobody uses this state to be removed. In the end, if everything works and if we have used it for self-hosting for some time, then we will create a process template from that that includes these newly added or changed things. So that was the way how we came up, for example, with the Scrum template, which was derived from the Eclipse Way process template that we had in the beginning, and then we continuously improved with every milestone, and now we arrived at this new process template that we have now, which is the Scrum template, which reflects all that we have learned in the meantime and that was gained from our own experience with using RTC for self-hosting. Okay, just a few things for RTC and what we did for RTC 2.0 and what we are doing in the maintenance release that are well, one already available and the other is coming in just a few weeks. For RTC 2.0, we introduced more custom attribute types, so we have now things like work items and team areas and project areas as real custom attribute types. That was not possible in the previous version, that we just had simple types like integers and strings and things like that. And which is more important, we have now multi-valued item references, so you can have complete lists of things as a single work item attribute, for example. We improved some of the editor presentations and made it possible that all these presentations that you set up in a single place, that these things are reused in various other places. So we not only have the web UI and the Eclipse UI, but we have things, for example, like rich hovers that appear automatically when hovering over a link to another work item, for example. These hovers now reflect the same presentation now. That means if you add additional attributes in your work item type definition, then these new attributes will show up in a hover as well. So it's not that they can only be used in the editor, but you can use them in all kinds of presentations that we have. Smaller things that we added for RTC 2.0 was having conditional visibility for presentations, so things can be, for example, made invisible attribute presentations. For example, if the work item has a specific state, then some of the attributes are hidden to make it easier to use. In RTC 2.0.0.1, which is the first maintenance release, we introduced initial support for e-signatures. Then now it's possible to require that specific changes that you do on a work item, that they require a re-authentication so that you have to use your password in order to be able, for example, to change the state of a work item or to add an approval or to change the value of an approval from pending to rejected, for example. In order to do this, you can now require that that a signature is necessary. In RTC 2.0.0.2, which is the second maintenance release, we extended this electronic signature concept a bit so that more types of changes are actually possible to require e-signatures for them. In the first release, we just had approvals. Now we support, for example, state transitions. Another thing that we added is a precondition that you can instantiate in your process, for example, to ensure that a work item requires a specific approval if you want to bring it into a specific state. So, for example, that if a work item should only be resolved or closed if someone has approved that or has verified that, then this is now possible by using this require approvals precondition that you can configure in your process. And this can be configured on a team basis. So every team can just use this precondition, for example, to specify that they want to have a specific rule in their team be used, that maybe some transition always requires a verification or a review, for example. And the last thing that we plan to integrate, at least a very raw first version, is to have dependent attributes. These are attributes that have some pre-built or built-in logic that makes it possible to depend the value of one attribute on values of other attributes. And this is not only used to determine the value of the attribute, but, for example, the value sets that appear, for example, in a drop-down menu can be made dependent on another attribute. That means if some attribute has a specific value, the value set that is shown in a drop-down combo box can automatically adjust it dependent on that other attribute. This is quite useful because you do not have to write any scripts for that. You can just specify this in a declarative way and get this automatic behavior then without much effort. But this is planned for the next maintenance release. We are not really sure that we will have this full functionality already available then, but we are still hoping that this will be possible.
Andre,
okay.
Can we just do a quick survey question for those of you that are still on the line? Jose, did you want to go ahead with that?
Yes, I'm ready now. So both the presentation and the demo is now at the end.
Thank you. I certainly will. We will now go ahead and conduct the survey question or the polling question at this time. Please allow me to read you the question and as well the responses, and I will let you know when you can actually start the voting at that time. The question is as follows. How useful did you find the open mic call? Star 1, very useful. Star 2, somewhat useful. Star 3, not useful. Once again, how useful did you find this open mic call? Star 1, very useful. Star 2, somewhat useful. Star 3, not useful. You may go ahead and begin your voting. Thank you, and that does conclude the voting for today.
Thanks, Jose. I just want to quickly conclude the session today and thank you all for coming, and thanks to Andre for speaking. Again, if you want to get a recording, it will be posted on DeveloperWorks as well as links on jazz.net. But if you have any additional feedback or questions, feel free to post on the jazz.net forum. I hope to hear from you all next week when we discuss Mainstock integration with guest speaker Bernard Coyne and Yakov Cohen, CEO of Mainstock. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference call. This does conclude today's session. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.